Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. You might have noticed we didn't have worship right before I started speaking. Maybe you started fast forwarding and realized you were already well into the message. Well, we're changing things up in the online campus, and we're going to be experimenting with different ways to format our service. So stay close to the screen and make sure you're watching from beginning to end. We're going to be really attentive to our time, and we're going to really make this something we hope keeps you engaged from beginning to end. So I'm going to hop right in. We are in part three of our message series, Sorry, Not Sorry. If you haven't been watching or you've missed a couple, be sure to go back and watch those. Hey, so let me ask you a quick question. Do you remember as a child getting in a fight or something happening with a sibling, or possibly a friend was overspending the night at your house, or maybe this was in a classroom setting and a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, somebody else in authority says, hey, I want you two to apologize to each other right now. Say you're sorry. And you go, what? Wait a second. I didn't even do anything. They're the one who fill in the blank. They did something to hurt you, offend you. They started the fight. They took something from you they shouldn't have taken from you. It feels totally unjust when somebody asks us to apologize for something we didn't do, to say sorry when we haven't offended anybody, to try and cover someone else's mistake with our apology. It doesn't feel just. It doesn't feel fair. Well, you can probably tell that I'm getting ready to spend a few minutes covering what it looks like for you and I to actually begin apologizing for things we haven't done, to people we haven't even offended, to work through hurts that we didn't even cause. And so if you don't already have your notes out, grab them and we're going to hop right in. All right, listen, I don't have to be guilty to be sorry. I don't have to be guilty of hurting someone, offending someone, sinning against someone in order to say I'm sorry. And here's why. Number one, because my apology can bring healing to pain that I didn't even cause. My apology can bring healing to pain I didn't even cause. So I've shared this story with you before, but it's kind of one of those really, really good illustrations that I can't leave it alone. So here's this illustration again. I've told you the story of how years ago, one of our toy rat terriers, we have two toy rat terriers, how those things are still alive, I don't even know, but we have two toy rat terriers, Lucy and Lola, and one day in the backyard, Lucy had gotten pulled halfway through the privacy fence, through a slat, one of the board slats that had kind of been knocked out by this pit bull on the other side of the fence. That pit bull had a hold of Lucy's paw and was pulling her through, and she was yelping and screeching in pain. Well, I ran to pick up Lucy and pull her back so I could get my fist through that fence and punch that pit bull right in the face because I wanted to stop that pit bull from causing Lucy any more pain. Well, Lucy, if you remember, turns and bites me. Now, I could have taken Lucy like an NFL superstar in the end zone who just got an amazing touchdown and spiked her into the ground because after all, what did I do to cause her pain? She had no right biting me. She had no right holding me responsible for the pain that I didn't cause. I was on her side. I was trying to help her get out of a bad situation that I didn't cause. I was there to help. How dare she attack me? Well, obviously, I didn't spike her on the ground. I didn't even yell at her. I didn't discipline her. I didn't do anything but try to help her with her anxiety, her fear, her confusion, and her pain. I held her close. I comforted her. I talked softly to her. I tried to calm her down, and I tried to make sure that she wasn't terribly hurt. You know why? Because that's what a loving, level-headed, mature person does for their dog when they've been attacked, even if the dog bites them in the process. So you sort of see where I'm going with this. We have people all around us, people we know, people we don't know, people we're related to, people we're married to, that are being pulled through the fence, who are being caused pain, who are confused, who are hurting, who are being attacked, who are perceived they're being attacked, who are in painful moments in your life. And listen to me, if you're like me and you see someone who's being attacked, you see someone in pain, then you want to do one of a couple things. You want to blast past them and you want to right the wrong. You want swift justice. You want to make sure that you mete out punishment to the one causing the pain. Because if you can stop the hurters, then of course you can stop people from getting hurt by them. Or sometimes you and I maybe have the tendency, and this is very, very popular right now, to be victim shamers. You know, we tell them, well, obviously if Lucy, if you hadn't have been so careless and stupid and playing along the fence where there's a pit bull right on the other side, you never would have gotten yourself into this mess. You put yourself in dumb situations, you're going to win. You know, I always say, play dumb games, win dumb prizes, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So you're going to get hurt if you put yourself in positions where you're going to get hurt. And so we do that with people sometimes. And as good as it makes us feel to either right the wrong or stop the hurter from hurting people or straighten this person out and teach them a lesson. Let them know how dumb they were to do this and how to keep them. We do this with our kids sometimes, right? How were you so stupid to put yourself in that situation? As good as it makes us feel to feel like we've solved something, it really doesn't connect them to a source of healing. You and I are commanded as Christ followers to not fix the pain, assign the pain to somebody, defend the pain, repair the pain, or even protect them from pain. Listen to what we're called as Christ followers to do. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says we are commanded to share in the pain. If one part of the body suffers, all other parts suffer with it. Or if one part is honored, then all the other parts share its honor. Listen, the Bible says that you and I, we have to share in the pain of others. We're not there to necessarily fix it or protect them from it or defend it or explain it away or any of that. We are to own the pain with someone. And then listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12. I'm going to connect these two big thoughts. Jesus said, do for others what you would want them to do for you. This is the meaning of the law of Moses and all the teaching of the prophets. Everything that Scripture has said so far, Jesus said, is about doing the right thing and doing for someone else the same as you would have them do for you. So Jesus says, if you would want someone to help you find healing when you're in pain, help you get out of the pain that you're in. Help comfort you. Help you understand that you're going to get through this. You're going to make it through this. Then you have to do what helps them get there. And can I tell you this? There is healing power in an apology. If you said to somebody, I am so sorry that you're in this pain. I'm so sorry that something happened in your life that you're feeling this way. I'm so sorry that you're going through this or you have gone through this or that you're living with the pain. I don't have all the answers. I can't fix all that's been broken. I'm not here to teach you anything or solve any problems for you. I can't even protect you from future hurt. All you have to do is identify with their pain. You know what it feels like to be hurt. You know what it feels like to be in pain. And you know the healing power of when somebody says, I'm so sorry you're going through this. I didn't cause Lucy's pain. But Lucy understood that I sympathized with her pain as I comforted her. And if a dog's capable of understanding it, certainly your spouse, a family member, a complete stranger can feel the warmth and the love of your apology for pain that you didn't cause. Number two is this, I don't have to be guilty to be sorry. Because number two, my apology can help repair bridges that I didn't burn. My apology can help repair bridges that I didn't burn. So I want you to think of all the times that you were owed an apology but didn't get one. You never received it. And I want you also to think of the frustration that that caused for you. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons why you may have never and probably will never receive an apology from that person who offended you, caused you pain, hurt you, did something to you, said something to you, acted a way towards you. Number one, they may not even know they did anything wrong. They might not even know they hurt you or offended you. Number two, they maybe thought you had it coming. I'm not saying you did have it coming. I'm saying they maybe thought that. Well, you deserved what I did. Or they might think, good grief, it happened years ago. It happened forever ago. I mean, grow up and let it go. Stuff happens. My gosh, you want me to apologize for something that I did 15 years ago? They might not think they did anything wrong. Therefore, they don't even think they owe you an apology. They may think you're the one who owes them an apology. They may be waiting on you, and when you apologize, they'll apologize to you. Or they could just be prideful and stubborn and know they did something wrong, but refuse to apologize because that's sometimes how people act. And either way, I'm going to tell you, you probably haven't gotten the apology that you believe you deserve, and you likely never will. Now, think of how frustrating that makes us feel when we have an open wound that no one is willing to come along and close, and you go, I don't feel like I can get closure on that. I don't feel like I can release them in that. I don't feel like I can forgive them in that until they do their part and apologize to me. They're the ones who have to close this wound. If that's what we're waiting for, then we are going to have to commit ourselves to always living with open wounds in our life, with unmet expectations of an apology that's probably never going to come. Because I'm going to tell you this, there are messes that people are going to create in your life, and there's wounds that they're going to cause in your life that they are not going to clean up and they're not going to close. So does the person who's hurt, does the person who's been wounded, does the person who's been offended, does that mean they can never release that person in forgiveness, that they can't move towards reconciliation with that relationship? Absolutely not. What I'm trying to tell you is that we can find healing and reconciliation with the person who's never going to ask for forgiveness. And here's how. God made us proxy ambassadors of repentance. In other words, God has called us as followers of Christ to stand in the gap and bring apology to someone who needs the apology from someone who won't apologize. And you think, that doesn't even sound biblical to me. Okay, fair enough. Let me tell you Jesus' words and see if this helps convince you of our calling. Matthew 5:9. Great blessing belongs to those who work to bring peace. God will call them his sons and daughters. Do you know what that means? Not only are we peace bringers in our own and peacekeepers and those who fight for peace in our own life. I want to keep peace with God. I want to keep peace with God's people. I want to keep peace with those who want to war with me. That actually means that we fight to bring reconciliation and peace where there's heartbreak, turmoil, and division. Let me say that again. We bring peace where there's division in other relationships. And you might be thinking, oh my Lord, why would I want to get involved in someone else's drama to clean up a mess that I didn't make? That is a really, really fair question. And I'm actually going to let Jesus answer that. So Luke 23:24 through 25. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. This is Jesus hanging on the cross as he was being crucified, as they were rolling dice for his clothes, as they were berating him, mocking him, torturing him, treating him brutally. This is what Jesus said. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. The soldiers threw lots to decide who would get his clothes. The people stood there watching, people standing by, letting him be crucified. And the leaders made fun of Jesus, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he's God's chosen one, the Christ. Here were people treating Jesus terribly. And listen, Jesus goes to God and says, forgive them. They weren't asking for forgiveness. Jesus was bringing reconciliation. Father, forgive them. They're not repentant. They don't even know they're doing anything wrong. They're just acting out of sin. They're acting out of selfishness. They're acting out of ignorance. Forgive them. He's bringing reconciliation to and peace where there's division and heartbreak. Listen, Jesus was apologizing for those who were too lost, too sin-sick, too spiritually dark, too blinded by their own smug self-righteousness to know that they were even sinning. So, what does that mean for you and I? What good comes from saying I'm sorry for something I didn't even do? And listen, here's the answer to that in 1 Peter 3:8. What do we get out of saying sorry for sins we didn't commit, to apologizing to someone for things we didn't even do to them? Christ himself suffered when he died for you. And with that one death, he paid for your sins. Listen, Jesus stood in the gap for sins he didn't commit. He was not guilty, but he died for other people who are guilty. He did this to bring all of you to God. For me to say I'm sorry to a man who sits in my office and is broken-hearted, his life has been shattered because his wife has been unfaithful to him, for me to say, I am so sorry. You didn't deserve this. This must be horrible. I apologize that this has happened to you. That doesn't put me in the crosshairs of guilt, and it doesn't make me responsible for her sin. What it makes me responsible for is beginning a path of healing for that relationship, because as painful as that is for him, I'm hoping to see that marriage restored and healed and that couple to be able to be together. Listen, for me to say I'm sorry to someone for the way another Christian or another pastor treated them years ago, a person I don't even know who did something for them as a child or offended them earlier in their walk with Christ, doesn't mean I'm guilty of that sin. It means I recognize that there's been an offense and they may never get an apology. It doesn't put me in the crosshairs of guilt for that. It puts me into the driver's seat to drive a vehicle of healing and reconciliation, to move someone towards forgiveness who might otherwise not forgive, except they just need an apology. They just need someone to say they're sorry. And so you wonder why people of other race and other ethnicities who have generationally been hurt by people you don't even know, and they want reconciliation, and they want someone to say they're sorry, and you go, what would I have to say I'm sorry for? I didn't do that. My parents didn't do that. Do you understand that you and I hold the keys to driving a vehicle of reconciliation and healing, that people can begin to move on in the process of forgiving when someone steps up and goes, I know they won't be responsible enough. I know they won't be caring enough or thoughtful enough to say they're sorry for what they did, because they may not even know they've done anything wrong. They may believe they were right. They may believe you were deserving of it. Whatever their motivation is, I can't speak to that. What I can tell you is, I'm sorry that happened to you. It never should have happened to you. You see the power that you and I have through apologizing for things we didn't even do. Third and finally is this: I don't have to be guilty to be sorry. Because number three and finally, my apology can help build a culture of grace and kindness. Listen to Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind and compassionate, graciously forgive one another, just as God has forgiven you through the anointed, our liberating King, through the Christ, our liberating King. So how do you and I create a kind and compassionate culture of forgiving one another generously and graciously? The answer is this: by creating a safe and transparent culture in which we humbly and freely ask for each other's forgiveness. You want to be able to receive forgiveness quickly, right? You want there to be generosity of forgiveness and grace and compassion around you. So how do you accomplish that? By you first seeking forgiveness and grace from other people generously and transparently. I truly am trying to get more fluid in just saying, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. not so that I'm making myself a doormat, not so that I take on all the guilt of the world, but because I want to create an atmosphere in which people feel safe saying sorry to me, where I let them know that I love walking in a culture of grace. You see, listen, I don't have to wait on them to be grace-filled for me to walk in the grace of asking for forgiveness. Here's what I mean by that. If I walk in the confidence that I have the grace of Christ in me and on me, that I've been forgiven by God, who has every right not to forgive me, who could hold my sins against me, and He has forgiven me, that is the ultimate forgiveness, and that's the confidence I walk in. I walk in a giant pool of grace surrounding me. So I don't need you to have grace for me to say I'm sorry, because you may not give it to me. You may not have enough of it. You may not be mature enough. You may be too hurt yourself. You may have some other reason you're going to withhold grace and mercy, kindness and compassion from me. I don't need it from you. I've already gotten it from Christ. I've already gotten it from God. So I can walk in the confidence of grace and just say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I might have hurt you. I'm so sorry that I'm connected to this pain. I'm so sorry that when you see me or hear me or you connect me to this, or I'm sorry for what they did that they're never going to apologize to you for. And all I get back from you is anger, and all I get back from you is unforgiveness. I don't need you to respond the right way in order for me to do the right thing. So I'm going to close with this. Galatians 6, 1 through 3 says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul was trying to accomplish here. A culture of grace and kindness. That when you see failure, you don't hold that over them. You don't treat them harshly. You don't judge them. You don't condemn them. You are grace-filled. You cover them with grace and kindness, and you gently restore them to wholeness, because he says, listen, you too are weak enough that you can fall. You too might need this grace, this environment, this culture of grace and forgiveness that you're creating. You are creating the space in which you have to live. So be generous with forgiveness, giving it and receiving it. I want to close in prayer, and I'm going to pray for you. And if this is something you need to do in your own life, I want you to maybe pray these words as your own. Or of course, you can pray your own. But I want to tell you, God's there to meet you right where you're at. Father, thank you for being the example of what perfect, beautiful, complete, whole grace looks like. Thank you for sending your Son to say sorry for sins He didn't commit, so that we could be right with you. When you sent your Son, Christ Jesus, when you came to this earth, we were not repentant. We didn't want to be right with you. We were distant and far from you. And that's when you came to us, not when we were ready, because we never would have been. Sin separates us from you. So help us be the kind of people who will stand in the gap, who want to bring people to peace and reconciliation, not only with you, but with each other. God, you want to make relationships right. You want to see us healed and whole. And sometimes we as Christ followers have to be the ones who apologize for those who will never apologize for themselves, so that the person who's hurt and offended can begin a journey of releasing someone in forgiveness and grace, and they can move into wholeness. And God, that may even be us. Bring people into our lives who might help us begin that journey as well. We believe for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Stick around. We're going to talk about offering here in just a second. God bless.